Hello there, everyone, and welcome to the Vagabond Dilemma, hosted by the jolly Rudy and, well, me, Henry. On today's episode, Rudy's mood takes a turn for the better as we near the month of December. Further, we discuss some Arctic expeditions which may or may not take a dark turn, and dive into Santa's inner circle. Without further ado, please enjoy this episode.
Fuck off!
Huh?
That's it! This is me, the last minutes of Grumpy Rudy, going at it. You people, it was a bad month. It's been bad, all right? Henry, I can't take it anymore. Here on this Discord, no. Here in this podcast right now, the Grumpy Rudy is getting killed brutally by the Jolly Rudy who's around the corner.
Truly around the corner.
It's doing it now. No!
No! Is Jolly me. Rudy making an appearance on
it's
this episode?
It's me, Jolly Rudy! I'm here to bring magic and happiness to the world.
Wait, you're so jolly today. That's crazy.
I am. Honestly, you know what? December's around the corner. Should I stop believing in love?
I don't know.
Maybe I should.
I don't know. Should you?
Let it be known, December is... Oh. I'm doing pirouettes, by the way, in my room right now. December... Come at me with your best. December is a magical time where literally magic falls out of the sky. People smile a little more. Presents all around the corner. We just all have to be. We come together as a civilization, as a humanity.
Yeah, is that the case?
And you know what? As Jolly Rudy's first act of redemption, let me do this. Welcome, Dames and Herren, by the Vagabond Dilemma. Was that good?
I guess, yeah.
I don't have any other lines with Dutch in it, so this is for now good.
Good enough, yeah. It sounded almost German the way you said Herren. But
well, I have German education, so...
Ah, there you go. Say something in German, then, to all our German listeners.
Ich kann nicht gut Deutsch sprechen.
Wow, that was pretty good. Well done.
There you go. And so, with that sentence being said, nobody will ask me ever again about German, because I made it clear. I can't speak it.
Yeah. Welcome to the first podcast that, starting from episode 10, is German now. Willkommen, Damen und Herren, zu dem Vagabond Dilemma. Ja.
But Henry, where's the jolliness? Don't you feel the magic coming around the corner?
I guess it's fine. I'm not that, like, I'm fine. I don't know.
December must be my favorite month of the year.
Really? That sucks to hear.
What do you mean? No. You know what, Jolly Rudy? You have your own opinions, and that's fine. I'm gonna smile at you, flip on you, and go.
Alright. I don't know. Personally, I'm more of a fan of, I think, April to June. Those are my favorite months of the year.
Oh, season-wise?
No, just months.
Oh. Because season-wise, mine is not December, definitely, because I don't really like snows, but I like the vibe of December.
I think my favorite month has to be, like, June, because it's, like, there's a lot of free time, and the weather's nice.
Mm. Fair enough.
So December, Jolly Rudy, are you going to go on the prowl, then? This is your love era?
This is the month of the year where wizards are needed the most. I will go there and spread love to those who need it the most.
So love will find you, is what you're saying.
It might, under a mistletoe or under a tree. I don't know, in an Italian car.
Okay.
I'm keeping it together. But if somebody would place an Italian under my Christmas tree, I wouldn't mind.
Under your Christmas tree? Holy shit. No, but I do have one thing. And I was debating on whether or not I was going to do this, but here we go. Are you ready?
What?
Make sure to shut up for a bit, yeah?
I have to shut up for a bit for this? Oh, what? Did Henry prepare something? Ooh!
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Rudy. Happy birthday to, well, you. And this is extra funny to do this, like, at the point that we're recording today, because it's not close at all, but there you go. I thought it would be thematically relevant.
Well, first of all, Jolly Rudy says thank you.
There you go.
Second of all, why the fuck?
Isn't it fun? I mean,
shows you how much I care about my birthday, because real conversation me and Henry had, I think, yesterday, which for time scale, literally the start of November. Henry asked me, when's my birthday? And I was like, wait, my birthday's around the corner?
No, but I do think it's like you're already talking like it's December, so I can also sing as if it's your birthday already.
Well, that's fair.
I don't know. I guess kind of the funny part of recording your episodes quite far in advance, huh?
I suppose so, but
Well, so anybody who's listening to this right now, it was Rudy's birthday, I think, yesterday. I'll just say the date so you know for sure. It's on the 29th, I'm pretty sure.
Please.
If it's not, then Rudy, I don't care.
It actually, is on the 29th, not. But neither care nor should you care.
I care. And Rudy's mom, if you're listening to this, shout out to you.
She is listening to this, so she will hear that shout out.
Well, there you go.
Anything else do you want to relay to my family?
Hi.
Hi, Mom. I'm on the radio.
No, I feel called out almost.
Nah, it's fine. She probably loves you. She loves most of my friends more than she loves me, I think.
Wow. It feels like that's a trend based on what you're saying.
Yeah. Everybody loves other people more than they love me.
Everybody shits on you. And then Holy Angel Henry has to go convince people to do stuff. I'm so nice. It's crazy.
Oh my God, you're literally the most two-faced person I've ever met.
That's fucked up. That's not true.
Oh my God. The sad part is, like, no matter how long I preach it, nobody will ever believe me in this.
This is two-faced. Like, you try to throw me under the bus. I think that's pretty fucked up. And while I'm always so nice to everybody.
Well, the thing is, like, I believe in actions rather than saying things. So I might not, like, I sound like an ass, but I'm not an ass. I do a lot of good things for a lot of good people. And yet people always, Jolly Rudy, you know what? It's fine. People don't have to say even thank you. It's fine.
Yeah.
I do it not because to say, like, to receive gratitude. I do it because I love you all.
You do it because you're jolly.
Yes, exactly.
Jolly Rudy. All right. Well, oh, sorry, excuse me.
Shall we move on?
Do you want to introduce the podcast then?
We forgot to do that.
Well, I didn't forget. It's your task.
No, actually, wait, I did do it in Dutch.
You didn't explain. You just said it's the Vagabond Dilemma. Yeah.
Okay, so Vagabond Dilemma. Hi, it's us.
Hi.
We're here. We're the Vagabond Dilemma, and we talk about the vagabonds, our fellow explorers or people gone missing without any inclination, or actually some inclination, as to what happened. But it's not hard set. So we here do some detective of ing, and we find a true ending. Very scientific is what we do.
Okay. Well, so who's our topic today?
Topic today actually is a very famous man that I believe, if you know anything about, well, let's say North or South Poles, you would most definitely have heard this surname. I won't say it yet, but I will introduce them shortly.
Wait, first why? Of all,
because I just want to keep the suspension a bit.
Okay, sure.
First of all, you know what I love to do. I love to give environment. I love to give, you know, some things that are happening in the world before we go into this. And it's going to be, the story is quite long one, so short facts. And so first of all, cusp of the 20th century. And I believe we have talked about this specific era when I was already talking about, Everett Ross. Uh-huh. So I'm not gonna mention all the big things like Titanic and World War, like, you know what happened around the 20th century's beginning. Interesting facts, though, as we move into December, 1882, electric lights were first used on a Christmas tree.
There you go.
Done. Then, 1900, Charles Seaborg invents the escalator and Horace Short invents the loudspeaker. So basically, this is the precipice of, well, you know, people shop in Christmas and it's all like shopping malls are full of lights and escalators moving and loudspeakers blasting. All I want for Christmas is you. Well, these are the people basic. This is when it started, you know. This is how it came to be.
Right. Well, shout out to the inventor of the escalator. I think that's kind of an underrated, like, thing in our society.
There's so many things I feel like that just are such a massive part of our culture nowadays, like the modern culture, that we just don't appreciate for what it is. Because yeah. We all use those things and then we're like, oh yeah, somebody, like, there was a thing that it had, there was a time where it wasn't a thing and somebody invented it for it to be a thing and now we all use it, you know? Yeah. For example, I was recently reading up on the guy who invented the barcode.
Oh, right.
That's just such a thing, like, it just puts a perspective on things, eh?
Yeah, it does. It is a lot of stuff like that you take for granted, huh?
Yeah.
Well, anyways, there you go, yeah. Shout out to the barcode inventor. You did well.
1 year later after this, 1901. Edison General Electric Corporation introduces its Christmas tree lights. So they started mass producing it, because before that it was just, yeah, well, they got introduced on a Christmas tree, but it wasn't like a thing people did.
Yeah. Okay.
And then Edison was like, yo, this shit's gonna be a lot of money.
Right. So, can I just ask?
Yeah?
Is it fair to say that 1882 was the birthplace of, or the birth
baby time Jesus
of... Jolly Rudy, rather?
Oh yeah, I've been living for millennia. That's the time where I came out of a Christmas tree. One light bulb popped and came out me. In all my glory.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know why, but I don't like that image, so let's move on.
Can you tell me maybe what happened in 1903 in North Carolina by Orville and Wilbur Wright?
Those are the dudes that invented the plane?
Yes, very good, Henry. Point for you.
Thank you.
It's the first ever self-propelled aircraft. Do you maybe know how long was the flight?
In minutes or in distance?
In seconds.
I want to say like 15.
Close, 12.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's really crazy how fast, like, air travel developed.
Oh yeah, because from this point, actually from this year, was it 60 years later we already landed somebody on the moon?
Yeah, true.
It's only 60 year difference between the first ever propelled airplane and then to the rocket ship that goes to the moon.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think about this.
That is crazy, yeah. It is.
Well, but air, you know, is not the only medium where people start inventing stuff in. 1 year later, 1904. Can you guess what else first ever happened as a means of transport that happened before?
Submarines, then?
Exactly. Henry, you're on a roll today. It's submarines. First ever underwater journey by a submarine is performed, and it happened from Portsmouth to the Isle of Wight.
Oh, how was that then?
I actually don't know. This one I didn't find. Well, I didn't from look for it, but it wasn't on the fact list that I found this fact on.
Okay. Yeah, alright. Interesting.
And of course, it's a steampunk type, you know, everything's, it's industrialization. But, surprisingly, what I actually found this very surprising is that at this point, apparently, such things as a magnetic North Pole have not been discovered yet.
Ah.
And for example, 1 year later, 1905, somebody discovered the magnetic North Pole, namely Norwegian explorer Roald Amundsen. Now, this is the dude we're going to talk about today. You probably have heard the surname Amundsen.
I haven't.
Really? Because yes. I feel like... Okay. Maybe it's because I've also been to Norway, but dude's pretty famous there. First of all, I feel like I've been to his museum. I know I've seen an exhibit, a very big exhibit about him. So I feel like it was his museum. Yeah, this dude, as you will later hear from the story, is one of the explorers of the modern era. He's like one of the crown jewels.
Well, that's rather promising, then, isn't it?
So let's move in, because I'm excited about this one.
Okay, then.
Let's go. Backstory! Imagine there's a rainbow coming out of my hands. Born in 1872, July 16th.
Started with a boom there, huh?
Yeah, let's get right into it. Born in 19...
Don't interrupt me when I do my story voice.
Bruh. I'm going to start interrupting you when you talk now.
No, but because it's quite a fun name, because Roald Amundsen is the abbreviated version of it.
What? How long can this dude's name be, then?
Born in 1872, July 16, Roald Engelbrecht Gravning Amundsen.
Okay.
Okay. And he born in southeastern Norway to a family of Norwegian ship owners and captains. Dude, a sailor. From the get-go.
Makes sense.
And after being impressed by Fridtjof Nansen's crossing in Greenland in 1888, decided to become an explorer too. So he had somebody to look up to.
Yeah, that's good. A role model.
Yeah, a role model is the word I was trying to look for. And I'm gonna be honest, he did a lot in his life. There's books and probably documentaries about him too. So I kind of tried to abbreviate a lot and pull out the main, you know, things that he did until we get to the trip.
Okay.
So I divided this into most prevalent expeditions, I called it. So first of all, the Belgian Antarctic Expedition, which spanned from 1897 till 1899. He joins as a second mate on the ship Belgica. And they become the first ship to winter in Antarctica after being frozen in the pack of ice. Quite a rough winter, eh?
But this was actually Belgians?
You will hear about the Belgians, why it's called the Belgian Expedition. There's tea about that, let's put it that way.
Interesting. All right, sorry, I don't mean to get ahead of you in your story.
No, it's fine. So it is believed that American doctor and polar explorer, remember this name, by the way, Frederick Cook, who was also on the ship, saved the crew from certain death and scurvy by forcing them to eat fresh penguin and seal meat instead of canned food. And it's an important lesson for future expeditions for our guy, Amundsen, because he used this logic later on.
So
they wintered there, and they were basically about to die, and this guy, Frederick Cook, true to his name, did cook up some real solutions.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, on the
penguin meat, and what was it?
Seal.
Oh. I guess that sealed the deal. Hey! yeah, that doesn't sound nice. Actually,
how about tea time? How about Belgians, huh?
Wait, have you had, seal or something like that before?
No.
No, okay, never mind then.
I very randomly, truly most random, one of the most random stories I've ever had. There's this place that me and my family go to eat in my town whenever I'm, back at parents' house, right?
Yeah.
It's just, I wouldn't say it's unbelievably good food. It's just, it's good for what you pay, right?
Yeah.
It's a nice cozy place. And then one time, I've eaten there for years. And one time I pick up the menu just to see if there's something special or anything. And true to what I expected, for what was it? I think they said it's only for 2 months available. Ostrich meat. And I'm talking about backwater kind of city in Eastern Europe. Ostrich meat, huh?
Did you have it?
Yes.
And?
Chicken.
Well, I guess not really worth killing ostriches for then.
Yeah, honestly.
Well,
but it was such a surprise to me. I was like, huh?
Yeah, that is pretty funny. Okay. Where were we? Oh, yeah, the tea time.
Oh, yeah, the tea time. So, captain of that ship, Adrian de Gerlache. I don't know if I pronounced the screen correctly or incorrectly, but whatever. mm-hmm. apparently had a secret agreement with his clients that the ship had to sail under a Belgian captain at all times. And of course, Amundsen found this out. And that also means that Amundsen, at the time being the second mate, would be by default passed by the third mate, Mallards, I think his surname was. And uh-huh. so Amundsen pulled a badass move and renounced any wages and informed the captain via letter that from then on he sees himself as no more than a sailor on the ship and that such agreement is a stain of his honor.
Okay. Because what was... He was supposed to be the captain?
He basically discovered that there's illegal power hierarchy on the ship.
Okay, so he was just upset about that.
Yes.
And then he decided to just essentially play along as he's just a passenger.
Yes, basically. Okay. He was just doing, you know, like, average stuff. He wasn't a second mate anymore.
Okay, I mean, fair enough, yeah. I get that.
I feel like, why would you have a secret agreement for a ship to always have a Belgian captain? Like, I would want to know why that agreement was even put in place.
I mean, it's probably so they can give the Belgians some credit when something like a good exploration happens, something like that.
Oh, I guess, yeah.
Or they want to be given credit.
That is true. This is the time when explorers are competing against each other in multiple ways. There's a story about this in my today's episode about this too. So I guess it's true, yeah, that you would just put Belgian names.
There you go. I mean, yeah, it seems like just something that they can get credit for in exploration as well. And it's not just...
Yeah. You know,
but okay, yeah.
Can I just also say that these exploration trips back in the day took so long, it's literally 3 years. Okay, this one was 2 years, but later on that would be... Imagine expedition for like 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, it just wasn't easy. I guess there's not much more to say.
Definitely,
I mean,
was not.
Like, if you put it into context, if we would go to Mars nowadays, it's also like 2 years, right? It's when you
more,
start,
I think,
like,
even now, but yeah.
Start taking the big steps, like, exploration-wise, it always will take long, and then over time become significantly shorter.
You know what? You really put this into perspective. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Anyways, okay. Next trip, and this for our fellow listeners might be something familiar, the uh-huh. Northwest Passage.
Hell yeah. All my homies love the Northwest Passage.
And Davy Jones. From 1903 till 1906, expedition leader aboard Gua. I think is the ship's name. It's the O with crossed over lining on it. It's like
the
client sign. The Gua.
So how do you spell it?
G H O and A. Gua.
It sounds like Gua. Something Gua. Like that maybe. I don't know.
Any enjoyers in the chat? Do you want to tell that story?
Sure. So, basically, there was a bit ago where we were playing a lot of GeoGuessr. And we found a town called Oa. And it just like one letter. It kind of...
Yeah, it's the spell just one letter. A with the double dots on top. It's just Oa.
Yeah, no, it's A with circles. Sorry, I have to correct you here because it's an important
thing. Oh, there's
difference.
A sec. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm yes. truly sorry.
Because or, the A with dots would be A, but the A with just the circle is O, and it sounds funny, and there were just sub-towns called that, so we just, I don't know, it just became a thing to repeat a lot.
It's a funny name.
It is a funny name, yeah, I still think it's funny, too.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so, expedition leader aboard, Gua, and this ship becomes the first ship to make a full northwestern passage.
Wow, okay. I'm surprised it happened that late. I thought it was already earlier, but... Alright.
Well, I mean, we know that the Hudson failed, but this guy was... He did it.
Yeah.
And so they traveled, if you really geography fans out there, you can pull up your Google map.
Uh-huh.
So they were traveling via the Baffin Bay to the northern coast of Alaska.
Okay.
That's basically, I'm not going to go into details of like the exact route, but it's from there to there.
Oh, isn't this where that disputed island of Denmark and Canada is, or is that somewhere else?
Oh, Well, I'm not sure about that.
I think it's somewhere else, actually. Never mind. That's also a long story, also, so I won't.
Yeah. Coast of Alaska, by the way, it survived 2 winters there.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it got frozen in there. Didn't you say that?
Yeah, this did, on the second trip again. So it got frozen on the first expedition that I talked about, and now now again.
I mean, that's what's going to happen up there, right? It's tends to freeze.
But you know what surprised me? And shout out to the Norwegian people who are, by skin color, maybe white. But you definitely were not the white explorers that we hear most about in this podcast. Because this dude, during his time there, he studied northern peoples and soon adopted their dress style and learned dog sledding from them. So he appreciated the culture and even, you know, like, learned from it.
That's cool.
That is honestly cool.
Yeah, that's
it
cool.
Probably was because he needed to survive somehow, and he was like, oh, these people actually know how to, but...
I mean, yeah, but that's not evil. It's not evil exactly. To try to survive.
So, Norwegian people, you pass.
Holy shit. We love a Norwegian. Are we going to make a shout out? This episode is for Norwegian people?
Yes, Norway, we love you.
Send us money.
I've been twice to Norway, and it's a beautiful country. But the only problem I have with you is... it would be nice if at least one of the roads you use could have a straight line in it. Because sitting in a car with my dad driving and there being endless corners and windy serpentine roads, I mean, it's a mountainous region, I feel. But sometimes I feel like, why go up and down the hill all the time when nobody lives there in that specific valley anyway? Just make a bridge. Just make a bridge.
That probably costs a lot more money.
They have it.
Well, nowadays, maybe, yeah. Well,
anyways, it's a beautiful, beautiful country. Really recommend it if you ever can go to any of the Scandinavian countries, really. But
I actually have...
If you car sick easily, maybe Norway with a car is not for you.
I actually have 3 beautiful destinations in Norway that I can recommend that are all really cool to visit.
And they would be?
Awe.
So there's 3 of them in Norway?
In Norway, there's 3, yeah.
Oh my god. This is consumer advice right here.
Honestly, not to distract too much, because I think we're already getting distracted a lot. My bad. It's because I've been doing asides the entire time. But I kind of... Well, first, I guess I need a car, or what's it called? A driver's license?
Yeah.
But I kind of want to do the awe trip. At some point. It just sounds like a funny idea.
Yeah, it is. Honestly, you should.
Yeah, and you're coming with, buddy. We're taking awe, no, with us as well.
Oh my god. nice name drop in there, but I think people who don't know them, they just won't know.
Well, then let them not know.
Well,
but real though, like the awe trip, sorry to keep going on about this, but it would be actually a very scenic tour, so
it would be anything it. You go in, anywhere you go in Norway is a scenic trip if you're not born in Norway, I feel like.
That's true.
Even if you're born, they probably really appreciate it.
Okay, back to the story.
Next.
I gotta say one more thing about awe, actually.
I will jollify you.
No, I was just kidding. Go on. I will let you talk for real this time.
Okay, because I was waiting for you to do some stupid shit again.
All right, go ahead.
Next prevalent expedition. The big one. The South Pole.
Okay. Is this the disappearance one yet?
No.
Damn. All right. My guy really did a lot, huh?
Exactly. Always going to the wintry regions, though. But anyways, 1910 till 1912. And there's a funny story about this one, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because the original plans were to go to the North Pole. But soon Amundsen learns that in early September 1909, Frederick Cook, the name we all remember, the guy who actually saved him in the Belgian Antarctic expedition, and a few days later after Cook, Robert Peary, they had reached the North Pole. Thus, Amundsen goes radical because he's like, it lost the chutzpah, you know, they wanted to be the first ones, the Amundsen's expedition. And right. Then they get the news that, your boys did it before you.
Yeah, they got undercut.
Yeah, exactly. Because, as I said before, this is the period of time where people are literally racing to do things first.
Yeah.
But, unfortunately for Amundsen, some things were already set in motion for this North Pole expedition. So what happens, and, okay, so what happens is he goes radical, and he completely switches the plan, and now he decides to go to the South Pole.
Right.
Literally the other end of the world, right?
Yeah.
But he doesn't tell anyone except, like, a few people who had to know. Those are not, by the way, the crew.
What?
So what happens, by the way, in Madeira, which is the Portuguese island off the coast of, I actually believe, Africa.
Yes.
Because they were, I feel like they were on their way already to the North Pole. And so the last stop before North Pole was Funchal, the capital of Madeira, the capital city.
Right.
He tells the crew, and in his defense, he offered them to break their contracts. He offered them to just, you know, drop out of this expedition now that we're going to the South Pole.
Right.
But the crew was, I guess, still highly spirited because unanimously everybody agreed to go with it.
Damn.
Nobody broke their contracts. They still went on later on to South Pole.
I mean, maybe because then if you broke your contract, you're fucking stuck in Madeira.
And well, he probably also offered, like, you know, if you break your contract, still some payment for you to get home.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. Because
this
maybe
dude
not.
Sounds like a gentleman.
All right.
Yeah, and there's another dude called Robert Falcon at this point, who's announced already by far before him that they're also going to the South Pole, and he's leading a British South Pole expedition.
Mm-hmm.
And Amundsen was like, well, if I say right now that I'm going to the South Pole, those guys will pick up the pace and maybe they'll get there first. Because imagine, this guy is still with the ship in Madeira.
Yeah, he's quite far away, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. So, on October 12th, which is, Amundsen is already on his way to South Pole,
mm-hmm.
The leader of the British South Pole expedition, Robert Falcon Scott, was informed via telegram, and it would take some time till he realized that it's now a race to the finish line, because the way Amundsen phrased the telegram was, so in his defense, the Scott's defense, the telegram verbatim said, beg leave to inform you, Fram, which is the ship's name, proceeding Antarctic.
Right.
It's not even a grammatical sentence. Oh, wait, I left one word out. So, beg leave to inform you, Fram, proceeding Antarctic, Amundsen.
Okay. But he got it, right? What was going on?
I will tell you later how he got it. So, basically, long story short, for the first few months, Amundsen, they set up a base from which to travel to the South Pole later on. They reach some northern parts of Greenland, and then they have to set up a base for a few months, like, you know, to return, to come from and return to. Because it's not like, you know, a ship trip to the South Pole. They have to use sledding.
But they're in Greenland?
I am dumbass, sorry. No, not in Greenland.
Yeah.
Why'd I say Greenland? No. They set up camp on the. I imagine North Pole for whatever reason. Dumbstruck like... even me right now when you said it. No. They set up. What was it? Oh, I don't remember the land's name, but in Antarctica they set up a base in one of the last regions when there's still like actual land before the ice starts. I don't remember what it's called, but it's on the continent of Antarctica.
Okay. Yeah, no, that was just like a bit... If you're going to go to the South Pole, then setting up in Greenland is not very efficient.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, anyways, and then they actually, at one point, meet the representatives from Scott's expedition. Ah. And those guys... were very surprised with the progress that Amundsen had. It was very nice treaty. They had like a couple of evenings where they just vibed together.
Right.
But they were that the expedition was very surprised with Amundsen's progress, and that's basically was when I believe Scott realized, oh shit,
this shit is happening.
Exactly. Because before that, I believe till this point he figured out that Amundsen is going to South Pole, but he didn't know the progress of the expedition.
Right.
And then, well, I believe Scott himself wasn't in that expedition's representative squad, but they later told him this, they were retold, right?
Right.
And then moving on, after the preparations, together with four other team members, he left for the South Pole. And he successfully reached it, but to be absolutely sure that it's him who reached it and it's definitely the South Pole, he spent on the South Pole 3 days marking the area and making astronomical measurements. And Amundsen even left a letter for Scott to bring back to the King, I am mispronouncing his name, Hakon II.
Okay.
In case Amundsen fails to return safely. And the irony of this story is that same letter was found on a deceased body later on. Not Amundsen's, though, but Scott's.
Oh, God. Scott died?
Scott died.
That's unfortunate.
Yes. Yes, indeed it was. Altogether, Amundsen's journey with sleds went on for around 100 days. 56 days outward, 42 on the way back, and some in the area.
Yeah, okay. Quite the expedition.
Days? North Pole expedition? Jesus Christ.
By South Pole expedition.
So, yeah, South Pole expedition, yes.
You're right.
Yeah, All right. In this jolly time, both poles merged together for me.
Okay. Then, what's our mission looking at? Because we are already deep into the podcast, Kate.
Yes, I know. And so, the trip is now... So not only was he a pioneer in reaching the South Pole, but by sleds also later on, with an Italian aeronautical engineer, Umberto Nobile, they were the first people to fly across the North Pole in the airship Norge. And, however, in 1928, Amundsen joins a rescue mission for the same dude, Nobile, who had been stranded on his second polar voyage with the Italia. and the plane crashed and Amundsen was never found or heard from again.
Oh. So, they were looking for the other dude on a plane crash. Yep. The other dude's plane crashed, or Roald was looking for him, and then his plane crashed?
I believe Nobile's plane crashed, and he was stranded there, but I think he still got the equipment in a shape that he got sent out, you know, signals.
Yeah.
And Amundsen, looking for him, crashed his plane and got lost.
They both crashed their plane, huh?
Yes, they honestly did.
Well, you know, I think that Roald is the name, right?
Yes, Roald.
He got jealous of our Italian friend, whose name I already forgot.
How can you forget our dear Umberto Nobile?
Umberto. Mi scusi, Umberto. anyway, so... You said it was like a race to do everything first, right? In that time.
Yep.
So, Roald was just chilling at home, and then it was like, holy shit, Umberto's the first person to crash his plane into the North Pole. It's my turn to do this shit next. I want my names to be right there up with him. So he hopped in a plane and fucking booked it and crashed it as soon as he could.
Captain America, Captain Norway story.
Unfortunately, because he was so enthusiastic, he didn't take the proper preparations. And not only did he not find...
He didn't take the parachute, forgot it at home.
He didn't find Umberto, and he didn't have the equipment to, well, survive. So he croaked, for lack of a better term.
Oh my god. I feel like... You know, I know exactly what happened.
Yeah?
So, do you believe in resurrection?
Maybe.
And reincarnation?
Perhaps. It's something I would like to believe in.
So anyways, it is believed that if we become great people whilst we live this life, then it's just fair to be reincarnated as, from the get-go, somebody legendary, right? Somebody destined to do more. Okay. So what happened is here, Amundsen, I think we all agree that he has done some shit in a sense of like, he already has got his name in the history books, first man to ever reach the North Pole, right?
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that.
Yeah.
So he's like, you know what? And I believe he, you know, good of his heart, he was actually looking for his friend and crashed the plane. And our, I don't know who's the Buddha, was like, you know what? This dude had a great life, was a great person. Let's reincarnate him in the next legend that the world needs. And so there, in the midst of the South Pole blizzards, magic happened. Aurora Borealis went all over the globe. And out came Mariah Carey with her single All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Bruh. You hate to see it. You hate to see it.
Literally crawled out on the ground. I don't want
a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. Yeah, that's truly a horror story for the ages, huh?
Just imagine like a zombie horror story. One hand just like comes out of the ground, and you just hear like somewhere in the clouds like whispers with the breeze. Ah. All I want for Christmas is you.
Is you. Well, I hope that piece of singing was it doesn't sound too horrible. That's quite the theory.
Honestly.
Well, I have another one as well.
I also like Mariah Carey by this time category. He's more than 100 years old now. Alive and well and not even that old.
Well, you'll see when we're 80 and Mariah still is spry.
Still kicking running, at it? Yeah,
still kicking. You'll know it wasn't a lie and rolled in there.
I am actually, this is the 2nd of the November, and I am expecting today or tomorrow, I already see that meme that pops out every year, where it's like somebody makes a graph of the numbers of that single being listened to, and like the first moment it starts going up, people are like, oh no, this is happening again. I am fully expecting you to see now.
Well, I mean, November, it is getting there, you know? So...
It's one day away. It's around the corner. Jolly Rudy is already here.
Oh, right. You were talking about our future perspective. I thought you meant, like, in the current time that we are recording.
Oh, honestly, in the current time, too. Yes.
Well, yeah, in December, for sure. Okay, but I have another theory as well.
Go.
Well, our good friend Roald, on his first trip with the Northwest Passage, was it?
Yeah.
That was with the Belgians?
No.
Oh, that was the Belgium trip to the North Pole.
That was its own expedition. That was Antarctic expedition in general.
Which one was the Antarctic expedition was with the Belgians or it wasn't?
Yes, the Belgian Antarctic expedition. Then the Northwest Passage and then the South Pole.
So, they went on the Antarctic expedition and, you know, in general it was fine. But those cheeky waffle eaters, they were not very content with how Roald had acted on the ship with the minor protest he threw up, right?
Yeah.
So, what they did is, after years of not doing anything, they contacted his buddy Umberto, and they blackmailed him in order to crash his plane to bait Roald to come up there. So,
Italian.
Umberto, you know, having no choice, he crashes his plane on the North Pole. He crashes his plane, he sends out a signal for help, and Roald's like, I gotta help my buddy out. So he goes there looking for him. And the Belgians, of course, they have like an anti-aircraft system set up.
They have the first aerial strike missile-seeking gun.
Exactly. They're all ready for Roald to come, and as soon as he shows up, they gun his ass down out of the air to proclaim victory for the country of Belgium, the true Arctic explorers.
Belgians with the satellite technology already at the start of 20th century.
That's right, but they don't tell anybody. You know, you gotta keep it a secret.
Maybe they started the World War.
How so?
Because they were like, fuck these people, because they all got, like, Americans got to one pole first, then this dude gets to the other pole first. What do we get? Nothing.
We get a world war.
So let's make them
hell
war.
Yeah.
We get a world war. That's our legacy.
Yeah, there you go. I guess penguins live on the North Pole, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
What if our good friend Roald landed safely? And then he had to survive. So he found a penguin and ate it. But then... Or wait, sorry. Let me shift this.
Yeah.
If you remember last week's episode, where I said that the tribes people ate... who was it? I already forgot his name. I'm stupid. Michael Rockefeller. They ate him in revenge for earlier happenings.
Oh,
so,
I see where this is going.
When when Roald landed, he was greeted by a mob of penguins who were quite upset that they had eaten their buddies years prior. And they said, Roald, you're not going to get away with this. And showed him Umberto's already eaten corpse in the distance and said, this is your next.
And then they called the seals. The seals got in some good beating on Roald. And then the seals with the bitch slabs, the penguins with the stomps, and then they just ate him.
It was plucked him dry, truly. An unfortunate ending. But that's what you get when you're a colonizer.
Well, that's the thing, he isn't.
Okay, that's what you get when you're Norwegian, then. Bye!
Maybe those all... You know what I think?
What do you think?
Everybody thinks that Santa is in the North Pole, right?
Yes, I guess so.
But, like... What if he has a, like... A branded operation in South Pole? Maybe he got his reindeers from South Pole. What if?
Yes?
Imagine that, those are what, 8 reindeers? Or 6 reindeers? However, they have to carry or pull a flying sleigh.
Yes.
I mean, sleigh queen. But they have to be on something. Like, we all know biology. What kind of reindeer would you have to be to, like, pull something, you know, in the air? The friction, the force. So there's some black magic involved. What if Santa Claus was like... You have to consume human souls, but we have to do it so nobody will ever find out. Because, you know, I have a brand. I'm like, you know, I bring joy and happiness and hope.
I can't be seen as a killer.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, holy Jesus, look at our communication center up in the South Pole. Somebody just, you know, like, messing about there. Nobody even knows it's there. Literally nobody will know. They're gonna know. They're not gonna know. So our dear friends... What's her name? Rudolph Blitzen Comet?
Yeah.
Came up to me, is like, well, the penguins didn't get you, but we will. And so the reindeers consume Amundsen's soul. And now they can fly because of it. Because this man greatly soared through the expeditions that he previously went on, so now reindeers can soar the skies because of him.
I thought you were going to come with an angle of like, oh, Roald got taken in by Santa and he couldn't leave because he knew the truth.
Oh, yo!
Yes.
Better, even better angle. Now, not even dark.
Not even dark.
This dude, Santa was looking at this dude. Santa looks at us since we're children, right?
Yeah.
Because he's a home wrecker, isn't he? He always breaks into houses.
Yeah. Sure.
So the thing is, he's been looking at Amundsen. He's like, oh my god, this dude doesn't have a flying sleigh. Doesn't even do it by plane, usually, just in, like, the last expedition, right? Goes to these South and North Poles, and he freaking knocks him out of the park. He knows how to traverse this. So I could use this dude on my Christmas days to traverse the skies, because he knows geography, he knows the winds and whatnot. This is extra useful. I need him to work for me. So in the South Pole, my dude crashes his plane, who mysteriously got, like... What he thinks, he might have been wrong, but he thinks he saw a puff of red or like a Christmas ornament thrown at the window and somehow it hit the wheel and it like crashed the plane. But it's, you know, Antarctic. He might have been hallucinating. And then And then he stomps out the plane. It's blizzard. No, nothing to see inside. And he hears a jingle here and there. And then he hears, oh, oh, oh.
Ho-ho!
And out of the blizzard. Fucking. And out of the blizzard stomps our dear Sinterklaas himself.
Oh, God.
Looks at him up and down. And he's like, well, son, I got a job for you. And Amundsen, and Amundsen is like, Santa? And then Santa goes, yes.
The driest conversation ever.
And they stand and look at each other like alpha males for a minute, staring at each other.
Right.
And Amundsen just like goes, fine, you son of a bitch, I'm in.
Oh boy. That's not a bad ending, at least, for once, huh?
That is not a bad ending at all.
Well, Rudy, you want to shed some light on the conclusion?
Yes. Yes. Resolutions, and might I add, legacy.
No!
Unfortunately, the plane was never recovered, and even as recently as February of the 2009, the Norwegian Royal Navy launched a new search for his body, because this dude's a legend. However, on September 5th, it was announced that they had failed in their mission.
Okay, real? What's the point of doing this kind of mission still, like, so much later? Isn't it, like, really obvious you're not going to find shit?
But people still sometimes look for the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
It's just a thing.
Well, I still think the same way about that. But okay.
So do I, but it's just a thing people do.
Yeah, right.
And then one more, what I said to be legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Quite interestingly, over the course of the 20th century, the validity of Cook's and Perry's claims had increasingly been questioned. Cook is generally believed to never actually have reached the North Pole.
Huh.
And there are certain doubts about Perry as well. In short, Amundsen, without even realizing it, on May 12th, 1926, could also have been the first human to reach the North Pole, thus making him the first ever human to reach both North and South Poles.
Bruh. So, why did Cook lie?
I don't believe it was really a matter of lying.
Oh, you just misunderstood.
I feel like they might have, Cook might have thought he reached the pole, but maybe he didn't do the right, because back then with the equipment, it's not like you have a GPS saying this is the North Pole, right?
Right.
You have to do like astronomical measurements and whatnot, and the land there is all the same. There's no like, you know, geographical landmarks to like go
for. Yeah.
So he might have just been wrong that he thought he reached the magnetic pole, but he actually never did because it was a miscalculation from his part.
Okay. Interesting. Well.
So this dude might have been the goat.
Not bad.
Not bad indeed.
Well, that was quite interesting. I do like this kind of explorer.
Yeah, this dude, honestly, I feel like we maybe should have done even a two-part episode because there's so much information on this dude. Jesus.
You're really enamored with the idea of two-part episodes nowadays, huh?
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, if you ever want to set
this
that up.
This is what happens when you run out of DS people.
Run out of ideas. We're at episode 10. But okay, we can see, you know. Maybe, so just know that sometime in the future, there's probably a two-parter coming right at ya.
Well, Henry just gave me another source for lost explorers or vagabonds. And I feel like these ones we can... There's a lot of coming. Don't you worry. Every Wednesday we're here with a new episode, and we're gonna be here till you get sick of us.
Yeah.
Which is probably already the case, but
yeah, that's right. Get shit on. You're already sick of us, idiots.
I am not shitting on anyone. I'm Jolly Rudy.
I am shitting on everyone. You... I'm Grumpy Henry.
There has to be a balance in the universe.
That's right.
I can be Jack Frost. You can be Pitch Black.
Yeah, that doesn't say anything to me, but alright. Rudy, you want to wrap it up?
You do the plugins. It's your thing. I'm not gonna. You do. You
oh yeah. Okay. I thought we were maybe doing this on a rotating schedule, but that's all right.
No. It's all you, King. You're the plugin master.
All right. Well, if you wanna contact us, please send us a tweet at the Vagabond Dilemma. I don't know what that tune was. Send us a tweet at the Vagabond Dilemma for any feedback, comments, tips, thoughts, ideas, anything you want to get off your mind. Hey, you can even tell us to go fuck ourselves. I'm open to it.
To fuck yourself? Huh?
If you don't have Twitter or it's dead and you want to still give feedback, feel free to send us an email at thevagabonddilemma@gmail.com. See, it's quite, it's just the title of the show always. Yeah, we're open to anything and we'd love to hear it. So, please.
Truly.
If you want some more personal feedback, you can visit my friendly co-host here at
000 RUDYS 000. Three zeros, Rudy's three zeros.
There you go. You can follow Rudy
on Instagram.
And you can give him some personal feedback. There you go.
Please do. Please do.
We do love to hear it. Yes. We love to hear some comments. Yeah. And that was it.
And people, shush. December's around the corner. Last day of grumpiness is allowed today, as of this podcast episode coming out. Tomorrow, smile a little bit more. It's all worth it in the end, huh? It's gonna be worth it. It's fine.
Talk less. It's gonna be fine. Smile more.
Exactly. Wouldn't it be a nicer world where we all smiled a tad bit more?
Sure.
Fa la 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 la.
Bye.